Good evening and welcome to tonight's council meeting on Monday the 18th of March 2024. My name is Paula Eat, Mayor of Kingborough. It gives me great pleasure to declare the meeting open and welcome to our member of the public gallery that we have with us here this evening and also those people who are watching along at home on YouTube. Being 5:30pm, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made available publicly on our website. Council meetings are also live streamed on YouTube, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the Acting General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirm, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and also acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reet, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley and Councillor Richardson. From our staff this evening we have the Acting General Manager, Mr Arnold, Director of People and Finance, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Antoli and also from Councillor Street. Before we move on to confirmation of the minutes, I did want to explain the display tonight. I think that as a municipality we can be very proud of the fact that the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers have been training in Kingborough for the last couple of years and are now in the playoffs for the second time out of 3 years that they've been in the NBL, and I'm sure most people probably in Kingborough are aware that a lot of the Jack Jumpers live here in the municipality, and it's quite often that you'll see them out and about. And I'm sure we've all been cheering them on over the game on the weekend, even though it wasn't quite the result we wanted, but wishing them all the best for the remainder of the games against Melbourne United. And also around now is also the launch of the new Tasmanian AFL team, so I'm sure we'll all be very excited to hear the news of that later on. So we are on page one, confirmation of minutes. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the open session of council meeting number 4, held on the 4th of March 2024, be confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last council meeting. We did have a workshop last Tuesday evening in relation to Kingston Park. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest they would like to declare? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I am, as a board member of Gymnastics Tasmania, I'm declaring an interest in item 15.1, Kingborough Sports and Recreation Strategy, and I will be stepping out of the chamber during that discussion. The same declaration applies for the item in closed session. However, on the General Manager's advice, after having declared the interest, which I've just done, I will be remaining in the chamber for the debate.
Thank you very much. Any further conflicts of interest? Thank you, they are noted. When it takes us to transfer of agenda items, is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed session? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. Do you wish to ask any questions? If so, if you could come up to the microphone. And even though we remember you from last meeting, if you could start, please, by stating your name and the suburb in which you live before you ask your question.
Mark Dunellan from Huntingfield. Right. In 2021, the state government introduced rules that allow personal mobility devices to use public roads. One of the limitations, though, prevents personal mobility devices from using roads that are divided by a line or median. Local councils can, however, designate these roads as usable by personal mobility devices. My question, what progress has council made towards approving roads that are divided by lines or medians for use by personal mobility devices in Kingborough?
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Reeve if he could assist us with that one.
Through you, Mayor. None in particular is probably the answer to it. So we certainly haven't had an issue or request in terms of actually people wanting to actually have particular roads that might fit that category designated as usable by personal mobile devices. So I guess we would base that on whether or not we did get that comment back from members of the community and assess it on its own merits. But we haven't actually received anything.
Great, thank you.
If I can just add to that, I chair Council's Disability Access Inclusion Advisory Committee, and we haven't had any requests come through there either, and we do have a couple of members of the committee who do rely on those personal mobility devices to move around the municipality, and my understanding is their preference is to not have to use the roads if necessary, but to be able to stay on the footpaths, which is why curb ramps are usable. Curb ramps are incredibly important to them. But certainly, now that you've asked that question, I'm happy to follow up with them at our next meeting and ask about any thoughts that they might have on that issue.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, we will move on to questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public, but if members of the community do wish to ask a question, they can do so by completing the relevant form on our website or by emailing us at kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. I feel like an infomercial when I do that. But wait, there's more. We'll send you some knives. No, we won't send the knives. Okay, questions on notice from councillors. Questions without notice, sorry. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My questions relate to graffiti and the street tree strategy, council tree planting. At Kingston Park and elsewhere in Kingston, there's graffiti along fence lines that are the shared responsibility of state growth and council. So I'm talking about fence lines along the highways. But they're also along council footpaths on one side of the fence, and on the other side of the fence it's the highway. So I assume that there's some shared responsibility there. Where there's vegetation and established tree plantings along those fences, there's no graffiti. But where those fence lines and barriers are barren, that's a canvas for graffiti artists to tag. So a constituent very kindly raised this issue with me and recommended that one sensible and affordable way to prevent graffiti along those fence lines would be to do tree planting and have established tree plantings in front of those fences. So my three questions on this, I'm happy to take them all together one at a time. Will council undertake tree planting along fence lines with graffiti to reduce ongoing costs of graffiti removal? And will that be considered as part of our street tree strategy?
Who's the lucky winner for this one? Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor. Councillors that were around 10 years ago may recall that we actually had a program officer in that endeavoured to introduce a range of initiatives around graffiti reduction, and we actually funded a number of green walls where we provided plantings to do exactly what you've just described, and that's cover walls and fences where there were incidences of high graffiti. Whether council will do that in the future and whether it forms part of the street tree strategy, I'd need to take on notice because I haven't had involvement in the development of that strategy, but certainly it's been an initiative that we have used in the past.
Thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, that's very helpful. Just a follow-up question around that is this relationship with state growth. Will council work with state growth to share that responsibility for planting vegetation alongside the state growth roads, so specifically on land that's considered state growth rather than council? Are we helping to encourage state growth to actually plant along those areas?
I'd have to say we'd probably, I think we should be lobbying them to do this. It's funny you should raise this because after attending a Australian Local Government Association meeting recently, I was made aware of an urban greening strategies that they have in both WA and South Australia. And I think New South Wales have recently adopted one as well. And I actually wrote to my Greater Hobart Mayor colleagues last week and suggested that we consider lobbying the state government to have a similar program for the Greater Hobart area, because I think it's South Australia have actually a grants program so that either local governments or members of community groups can apply for grants that will bring more greenery into that urban area. And I think that sounds like a perfect fit for the municipalities that in the Greater Hobart area that are having these repeated problems. So I would like to think as part of our tree strategy that we would certainly encourage the Department of State Growth to do that. I think one of the other challenges that we certainly do have with graffiti is that there are some private owners who seem reluctant to remove the graffiti from their own premises. And so I would certainly encourage particularly commercial building owners to get rid of graffiti as soon as it appears, because if it stays there, it encourages people to continue to do that. They say, oh, that's acceptable. So, you know, and particularly if there are offensive words, then I think it does need to be removed very quickly because it can cause distress to other people in the community.
Thank you. Final question through you, Mayor, is in terms of the total allocation of funding to tree planting on Kingborough Council managed lands, is the total allocation of funding for tree planting increasing?
We might have to take that on notice. They're all looking at each other. That generally means nobody's willing to take a stab at that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. A member of the public was a bit late for this question to be printed in the agenda, so I said I could ask for them. They're wanting to know, has there been an independent review of dog poo bags, say compostable or dog poo bags, that has been commissioned by the Kingborough Waste Services?
Yes, there has been.
What is the reasoning behind the commissioning of this review?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I guess we've had quite a few comments both from the Chamber but also from the community as well as regards the possibility of moving to compostable dog poo bags. And as part of that, one of the things we realised that we didn't have as much knowledge of as we'd like to is all the different types of bags that are actually out there and what sort of environmental impacts they might actually have. And believe it or not, even though we commissioned that, it wasn't an easy thing for the consultant to actually go through that process. So actually trying to find all the information on the types of bags, plus also how they might actually work within the Copping landfill, which is where they end up at the moment, was a little bit more complicated than thought. But that particular study has now been completed. So my viewpoint would be to take that back to council, so it'll come back up as a council report, and council can make some decisions on that from there.
Great, thank you very much. And what was the cost of that study?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, from memory, it was about $2,200.
Great, thank you. So it will be coming before budget discussion, through you, Mayor, sorry.
I think when we had the budget workshop, we certainly indicated that we wanted to have a further discussion about compostable dog poo bags before we finalised our budget deliberations. So, yes. Any further questions? No, we'll move on. We're still on page 2. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from councillors, and there are no petitions still being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Which takes us to officers' reports to council. Kingborough Sport and Recreation Strategy, as indicated with a conflict of interest, Councillor Cordover will be leaving the room, so he's left the room at 5:44 p.m. We've got a recommendation on page 5 and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in Councillor Dean and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Dean.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, it feels like a long time since we put together a sport and recreation committee, which was chaired by myself with co-chairs with Councillor Antoli and Councillor Midgley. We worked really hard on a sport and recreation strategy, which, to be fair, was the bulk of which was done by staff with contributing thoughts from that committee and members of the community. Late last year, we gave initial endorsement, and that endorsement meant that it went out for public comment, which it now has been. And what we're discussing here today is to give final approval of the strategy. Now, pleasing for me as chair of that committee was that there was general support of what we'd come up with. It seems like we'd kind of got it fairly right because there weren't a lot of dissenting comments that came through. There was obviously, as the report notes, lots and lots of comments about the aquatic facility, but also lots of comments about the trucks and trails and other things as well. I'm not going to go over the entire strategy once again because we've debated it in this chamber a couple of times, but I will just bring those listening their attention to the implementation plan, which is on page 36 of the agenda or page 28 of the strategy. And I bring the attention to that because there are 23 fantastic recommendations that has been put forward by the strategy, covering a range of things, not just an aquatic facility, which was the first recommendation, but 22 other fantastic recommendations. So those listening, I do recommend to read the full strategy, but if you don't have the time, to definitely flick to those two pages of the implementation plan, because that's where the rubber hits the road, and I'm really excited by a number of projects in this. So I won't go on about it entirely, but I know that there will be a lot of interest in a certain number of these projects. So I would like it if we could potentially from staff, potentially from Mr. Smee himself, get a bit of an update in terms of any progress on a number of these recommendations, noting that some are short-term, some are medium, some are long-term, but we are in the process of finalising our budget, and there's obviously a state election going on, so there's lots of election commitments flying around from certain parties. So I was wondering if we might have an update on, if there is any updates on a couple of the projects, particularly around the aquatic facility and the steering committee.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. So obviously the strategy has been in draft form, so we've been waiting until we can get it endorsed before we fully move on implementing. However, that's not to say that it hasn't been fairly prominent in our minds in relation to the budget preparation process. And councillors would recall we've put in some funding to do the feasibility study for a skate park. And certainly in our election wish list, there are a number of projects contained within the recommendations of the strategy that have been put forward as projects that are a high priority to see delivered for Kingborough in relation to sport and recreation. In regards to the Aquatic Centre, the recommendation is to form a steering committee to have a further look at the feasibility study that we did a couple of years ago now, and specifically to answer the question around, is there a cheaper alternative? Are there options that we can perhaps deliver a facility that's not going to cost us as much up front and is not going to cost us as much to run? And so there'll be some work done in relation to how other councils have managed to achieve this, smaller councils than us. But given that the recommendation at this stage is to form a steering committee, that doesn't have any particular cost implications, so that's something we would look to move on reasonably soon after the strategy is endorsed. And I would note that our new CEO does have some experience in managing aquatic facilities, so I'd be waiting till he's on board to draw on his wisdom in that regard.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you. Look, just one last comment. You've obviously, as I missed the point, being that given the public comment that we've had, we've not actually gone and made any changes to the initial draft, which was pleasing. And I guess just one other thing, that both major parties have made several commitments. We are, as you pointed out, funding our own feasibility study into a potential skate park, which is really exciting. Hopefully we'll get off the ground in future years. The Labor Party's obviously got on board with the Seapool feasibility study, so I think in terms of exploring where we're at on all things aquatic, we are making some progress, and the steering committee sounds like a fantastic idea to get the ball rolling and engage community interest once again. And I will leave it there and leave other people in the room to make comment.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. The next item that we're discussing is our financial report, which is predicting a $2.3 million underlying deficit. And I just wanted to ask the CFO if he thought that giving any consideration to some type of aquatic facility is considered responsible.
Our Director of People and Finance, Mr. Spinks.
Thank you for the question. Look, as we sit here today, and we've been through a couple of workshops already for budget for next year and the long-term plan, there's nothing factored into that plan at the moment for an aquatic facility of any type. So it's hard for me to sort of give specific advice because we don't have the costings and other things to put into our model. It'd be fair to say, though, however, given our current financial situation, that any further cost impact of that kind of magnitude, which I think we'd be talking about, would be a challenge to deliver financially and would inevitably require a fairly substantive contribution from the ratepayer.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So I think it's great to see the feedback that's coming on the draft sport and recreation strategy. Not surprisingly, a lot of the feedback was in relation to the big ticket item of the investigating the aquatic facility, but it was also really pleasing to see residents getting behind some of the other initiatives, such as the development of the skate park, which has been mentioned, upgrading of the outdoor courts, and continuing to develop our very popular tracks and trails network. We did discussed the draft report when it came to council a few weeks ago, but I think it's worth mentioning some of the things that's in there. The implementation plan's packed full of great initiatives such as making our outdoor courts multi-purpose, creating master plans for each of our sports grounds in consultation with the tenant clubs, and then onto some of the major initiatives such as the new ground with the second turf wicket, pursuing the development of more indoor courts at the sports centre, and upgrading Gourmet Park in line with the 2023 Master Plan, all of which happen to be suggestions that we put forward to state government election commitments. So fingers crossed, there's 2 or 5 days to go on that one. And just finally, I think it's worthwhile saying thank you to everyone who provided feedback in both this round of consultation and the initial survey, and also credit to the Sport and Rec reference group involved in putting together the draft plan. The fact that all the feedback received was quite positive and didn't trigger any requirements for changes indicates a job well done. So very happy to endorse this strategy and look forward to our work commencing on some of the initiatives.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, echo what everyone has said in regards to the thanking of the people being involved and the staff, particularly for the fact that we were able to do this in-house is a great recognition, really, that staff were able to do this and have all the skills that we didn't have to go out and spend, $100,000 of ratepayers' money as well to do this outsource. So I really thank staff for their skill and time and dedication, and the quick turnaround was really fantastic. Councillor Dean did a great job and just has great connections in the area of sport and recreation, and also with children and young people, sending it out there to get a really high 547 students are involved in the initial involvement as well. So thanks to everyone being involved. I think it really highlights, recreation. We love our recreation in Kingborough. We know that we do. We've just had our tracks and trails strategy, the bicycle plan and strategy, and other things alongside of that, the venues at the Kingborough Sports Centre. We know that we love it. I've had a cycle and a run and a swim already today. We just live in such a great place to do these things. So we can really celebrate that we have a great place to keep fit and well. So as we do with strategies, we have the initial draft and then we go back out to the community. And I guess my, you know, we did get a bit of points, I guess a higher kind of return around the swimming pool. There was some definite social media saying, hey, swimming pool things, and people did respond to that, I noted. But I also think, well, what about those 547 students and young people? Like 37% of those people said that soccer and football was really high. When we went back out to the community, I don't think we specifically targeted students and kind of young people. And I think that's just a different, I guess just something to keep in mind. If we're going to have that high number of students and young people, children and young people being involved, we need to think about then how we're going to check with them that it's okay. I don't know if we heard back of them. I don't know if they look on our Facebook page or website and kind of say, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, yep, that totally syncs with what I said. So if we had then kind of them involved, we'd probably get like a really high kind of number of people saying, yes, you totally got it right. We want to improve more soccer and football kind of facilities around Kingborough. You know, we want to be able to, when it's off season, we want to go to our local park and play with some goals. Because I know heaps of kids who have nowhere to play in the off season to kick a goal anywhere. You know, say Sherbet Oval, the goals are put away because of cricket. So I guess for me, yes, it is great. We've done the due diligence in a way, but we don't want to be just swayed by the fact that, yes, we've had a big return or, you know, whatever, a bit of a return around the whole swimming pool thing and kind of going down that track. Because I do feel like there was a bit of a voice there that wasn't really heard and we did go back. But, yes, we do know that people, you know, swimming has many benefits. And I just want to chat about a couple of things. I've been away recently, went to Newcastle. Don't know if people have been there, but they have sea baths there. And the reason why they have sea baths there is because they have high waves and you can't swim and do laps like we can in our beaches here. I swam today at Blackmans Bay. It was a bit rough. You can still swim, whereas if you're in Newcastle or other places where ocean baths are, you can't, like, you know, the waves are so big, you can't really swim that well unless you go right out the back. And I know that puts, you know, some people off. Whereas at Kingborough, we can swim quite close to the shore, still in shallow waters, and, you know, you can get the exercise. So I sort of think it's great we have maybe some commitment to a sea pool, but I also, we've got to look at the real reasoning behind that and the actual, you know, the fact that we're so different to where other sea pool locations are, as beautiful as they are. And I guess the pool as well, again, we've, you know, the community expectation around that, yes, people would love it. Councillor Glade-Wright asked a really important question. And again, it feels like I've been gallivanting around a bit, but I was at the Grampians on the weekend and there was a fantastic pool there. It was an outdoor pool and was actually funded by the community. The community raised the fund, they saw the need, and they actually paid for this pool. And it's run by a committee and the profits that are made by the pool pay for someone to kind of run the pool as well. So there are lots of different models. We are in an interesting financial times, and I think it's good to look at that big scope. The strategy definitely provides us with a direction, like the bike plan, like the sport and recreation plan, the trails and tracks plans that will come. There is millions, billions of projects and dollars, and we do chip away at things and do definitely get things done. And that list that Councillor Dean stated definitely does provide us with chipping away at things.
Time.
So, yes, I support it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I've enjoyed listening to the contributions round the table. I guess I'm here to provide a bit of the history to the swimming pool dilemma. In 1988, when I was first elected, we did have a committee of community members who lobbied very hard, and we met once a week for 2 years and ended up doing a feasibility study on the financing of the pool, but also the design of a indoor 22 metre pool. And we did find that 85% of the community would participate or use that pool. There aren't many things in this community other than maybe tracks and trails that 85% of the community is able to use 12 months a year. And that's the difference between a beach pool and all the other sporting things that we do. And it's not for nothing that the pool has come up top on the community's wish list. So many people have said to me they would like to have their rates put up just to pay for the pool. They might not know exactly how much is going to go up, but that is really a strong emotion that's going through the community. And it's since, I think before I was elected, Councillor Cordova was saying there was a committee in the 70s that was buying bricks to build a pool. So it's been such a long waiting list for this thing to happen. I mean, I've chaired the bike committee. Look what we've achieved over the years and with bikes, and also the tracks and trails committee, and we've all worked so hard towards these things, but it's a drop in the ocean compared to what we'd achieve if we had a swimming pool in Kingborough. We were gazumped by the Hobart Aquatic Centre at the time. The federal government gave them the funding, with Dune Kennedy being a very persuasive mayor of Hobart at the time, and I think she also had Tattersall's money that was put towards it. Surely we can look at other ways of funding, and I think it's a really good idea to have a committee that does look at how we can move forward on this and not just say no again and we're not going to do this, but try and work out a way that we can do this, even if we've got a long-term aim and we start putting money towards it now to achieve that in the future. So I won't repeat what other people have said, but I'm pleased to have contributed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any further contributions? Otherwise, I'll make one just very briefly before I ask Councillor Dean if you'd like to sum up. Thank you to all the 23 people who responded to the draft sport and recreation strategy. I went through and read each one of those submissions individually, and whilst there was a strong flavour amongst them for an indoor swimming pool or an aquatic facility, there were certainly other people who acknowledged that it was quite financially unachievable for us as a municipality. But I don't want that to detract from the rest of what's in the report, because if you actually go through the strategy, there's a lot of information in there about the immense pressure that is occurring on our indoor facilities at the moment at the Kingborough Sports Centre, where so many user groups of that centre have the capacity to expand their rosters, whether it be pickleball, volleyball, netball, playing more indoors, a whole range of sports that are already using the centre actively, but just need more space. And I find it really frustrating that here we are again in a state election period, and it's very, very hard for anybody to, of any persuasion, to stand up and take us seriously in relation to this. We are servicing an area of about over 100,000 people that are the catchment area for the Kingborough Sports Centre. That is a significant proportion of the population in the south of the state, and it's obvious that projects of that magnitude are going to require some input of funding from other levels of government, just as an aquatic centre would. So I hope, I'm very optimistic, given it's still only Monday and there are six more days of the election campaign, or maybe five if you take out Saturday, or four, hang on, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 or 5 days left, had to use my fingers then, of the election campaign. And I really do hope that we see some positive announcements for the rest of the week, because I think that if you look through the list of the clubs that could really benefit from an upgrade of the sports centre, then I think that would go some way towards assisting many, many sports in the community and many individuals who do play. But, look, I'm really happy to endorse the Sport and Rec strategy. I think it's a really important document for us to have, because it is actually showing to the community that we're not just going to respond on a whim to something, but that we've worked with stakeholders and interested groups to actually
look strategically at the best way we can maximise our sport and recreation opportunities for members of our community, whether it be something that they enjoy doing outside, walking on our wonderful tracks and trails, or whether it's using some of our indoor facilities. So hopefully this document gives us a framework for moving forward with the council's managed and operated sporting facilities across Kingborough, and we look forward to delivering on this as the future unfolds. Councillor Dean, did you want to sum up?
Yeah, just a couple of comments. I was going to say a few thank yous, but Councillor Bain and a few others have already said it, but it is, I read those 23 responses as well, and what struck me about those responses was not just one-line emails of, and they're not included in this, but they weren't just one-line emails expressing support. They were highly thought out and detailed and well argued points, and they came from not just members of the community, they came from principals from local schools making the case, which I think it's worth pointing out in the poll here that what we're endorsing here is an opportunity for members of the community to engage with the process, which they haven't been able to engage with before. It's an opportunity for us to educate the community about our financial situation. I don't think it needs to be anything other than an opportunity to provide those members of the community and us to educate constituents about what may happen as part of the facility, and as council staff have already pointed out, whether it means that we need to downsize, resize, fund, look at alternative funding options, so it's not just a council thing that we're funding solely. It's a fantastic opportunity to actually just engage with the community and give them a say. If it is that it turns out that at this point in time the finances aren't there, so be it. But at least we've given them the opportunity to be engaged. But I do hope that, as Councillor Fox has pointed out, that there is high demand and it is really something that the community wants. It's overwhelming something that the community wants. So we need to explore it. And if we do explore it and it doesn't work out, then that's fine. We need to give them a chance to have a voice. And I do absolutely take the point about indoor sporting facilities. It's hugely important. We've got 4 days left, and I really look forward to the major parties getting involved and announcing some commitments the next few days about what they're going to do around indoor sporting facilities in Kingborough. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. I'm going to put the motion now as printed on page 5. Moved by Councillor Dean and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 60, financial report for February 2024. We'll get Councillor Cordova to return to the room while I'm seeking a mover and a seconder for the recommendation which is printed on page 62. It's moved by Councillor Bain, seconded by Councillor Gladewright. And Councillor Cordova has rejoined the meeting at 6:07 p.m. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So we have before us the financial report for February 2024, and the forecast result for 2023-24 is now an underlying deficit of $2.3 million. As has been mentioned in previous reports, the major factor contributing to the $2.3 million forecast deficit has been the asset revaluations and the increase in depreciation that comes with these revaluations. The total forecast of these is $1.6 million. Our stormwater infrastructure is one of these assets that has recently had a revaluation that resulted in a large increase. So a question here, and I guess to provide the public with an indication of just how sharp some of these cost increases have been, can we make an indication of what the total value of our stormwater infrastructure is, and also approximately what percent that's increased by at the last revaluation?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So as at 30 June last year, when we last did the balance sheet, the valuation of our stormwater assets was $203 million, and as you've said, there was a revaluation in that year. It increased by around 60% from about $126 million, which is a very large increase, which isn't usual, it has to be said. And the associated depreciation on that also increased correspondingly from about $1.2 million to around $1.9 million. So the large increase in valuation gave us a large jump in depreciation as well.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Hang on.
Councillor Bain hasn't finished.
I have a question. It's almost a point of order. I'm confused because when Councillor Bain read out the forecast for 2024 from the document, he said it was 2.334 million, but it's 2.334k written in the document. Is that a typing error or is Councillor Bain correct?
Through you, Mayor. No, Councillor Bain is correct. K is just a common expression of thousands. So when we say 2334K, it's the same figure as 2.3 million.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thank you for that response. And I guess in a follow-up question, if we're seeing such a sharp increase in things like the stormwater evaluation, is it fair to say that other councils are going to be going through a similar issue when they have revaluations?
Mr Spinks.
Mayor, it's hard to say. Councillor Bain has asked this similar question before, so I did do a little bit of an exercise in trying to ascertain if there were some other councils that had undergone a stormwater reval last year as well. I certainly didn't go exploring all financial statements of the other 28 councils, but I did choose six or eight. I couldn't find one. So certainly those other councils, they're in the same sort of reval cycles that we're in, so I have no doubt that one or two might be doing it this year and there'll be some more next year. Will they be subject to... They're certainly subject to the same market conditions. Will they be experiencing increases of the same order? Look, I really can't say because it really depends on sort of how they did them last time and what assumptions they used and et cetera, et cetera. But from the point of view, are they subject to the same market conditions and use of consultants and construction companies and so forth? Certainly.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you. So I think, when you're talking about 60% increases and we've got revaluations on our vast open space network and buildings, all of which have to be factored into the asset replacement schedule, you can see how these numbers grow rather quickly and the adjustments have to be made accordingly. And I think the point in 8.3 of the report, which says work is going to be required with our long-term financial plan to address these ongoing deficits and to get us back in a surplus, that's definitely the case. We've got some work to do. So I look forward to other contributions.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is around the reserves, and so I'm looking at pages 66 and 67. Now, my understanding is we've got reserve funds, that is money set aside for covering certain things, that it basically it's a pool of funding that's earmarked for certain things, so whether it's Boronia Hill or car parking, hall equipment replacement, office equipment replacement, and so on. My question is around to work towards getting an aquatic centre for Kingra, what is it? Firstly, is it possible to have a reserve put aside where we squirrel away money to move towards the maintenance and depreciation of an aquatic facility for Kingra? That's my first question, is could we use a specific earmarked reserve to start working towards an aquatic facility?
Mr Spinks.
Through you, Mayor, we could certainly do that. So as has been rightly pointed out, we have existing reserves now, so we could equally create a new reserve to start setting aside some funds for any purpose, and an aquatic centre could be one of them.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. My next question is around, I guess, the mechanism for doing that and making a sound financial assessment of what's an appropriate amount. So can you please, through you, Mayor, can it please be talked through to me how we would set one up and how we would determine what's an appropriate amount of money per year to put aside? Like, would this go through the budget process? Would it be a motion off council? How would we go about setting aside a reserve for an aquatic facility?
Mr Spinks.
Thank you, Mayor. So the process for doing it, would be through here, a resolution of council to create a reserve. In terms of how we then do it, we'd have to go away and do some work. So we'd have to think about timeframes. We'd have to think about how much we would need to generate and accumulate over a period of time. So it's all that kind of work which would determine how much we'd need to put away per annum. And sitting here now, I can't tell you what that number would be.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, and that's fair enough too. So something that piqued my interest was that when aquatic centres for Kingborough were first raised in the 1980s, the figure I heard that was around 1.6 million. And nowadays, the figure that we're talking around is, you know, 40 or 60 million or whatever it might be. My question is, with our current reserves, when we do put aside money like $1 million a year for a capital investment, capital expenditure, sinking fund, that kind of thing, do we factor in the time value of money and how, you know, my question is, what will it cost in, if we start putting away $1 million a year right now, let's say, for an aquatic centre, how do we make sure that our reserves that we currently have actually keep up with the value of money in 2040 or 2060? Do we have a mechanism for figuring that out?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor, at the moment, we don't, with our current reserves, we don't factor in time value of money. So, you know, we don't apply to the balance each year some kind of notional CPI or interest rate or something of that nature. But if that was desire of council to do that, once again, that would have to be a resolution of council.
Thank you,
Councillor
Mayor.
Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, I think this is all really interesting learnings for me, specifically because I think, firstly, for our current reserves, it's probably a good idea to factor those things in because, as I've talked about, if it was $1.6 million in 1988 to get an aquatic facility, and now in 2024 it's going to be $60 million. Surely that's also true for our public open space reserves, for our office equipment replacement reserves, so maybe that's worth thinking about. And the other factor is I seriously want us to consider, based on the amount of public clamouring for an aquatic facility,
I see... Point of order, Mayor.
Councillor Richardson.
I think we've indulged it long enough. I don't think that changing the direction of this financial report to be a discussion about a pool is appropriate.
It's a very fine line, Councillor Cordova. I understand what Councillor Richardson says because I feel like you've taken us back to the previous agenda item.
I wasn't in the previous agenda item.
That's why you missed your opportunity and now you're taking it.
So everybody else talked about it.
You had a conflict of interest. That's why you weren't here. So if we could try and stay as much on track to questions related to the current financial report that we're considering, it would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mayor. I certainly will do, and I'm actually just making my contribution now, so I'm not actually asking any questions, but I do appreciate that. What I am saying about our reserves, which on the financial report is on page 66, if my fellow councillors want to turn their attention to it, so I'm speaking to the report, I think that there is a missing line item there under reserves. We should make a new line item under that reserves aspect of the financial report, page 66 of your council agenda, and it should say an aquatic facility for Kingborough Council, for the Kingborough Council municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I've noted that. The difficulty I guess I have with it is that there is no resolution of council, so we can't have anything on the financial report that talks about an aquatic facility reserve. So let's circle back to that discussion at another opportunity. Any other further comments on the financial report? I just want to make one brief comment. Obviously, this makes a very sombre reading when you look at the underlying deficit so far for the year of $2.3 million. That is not a figure that we want to see there, and there have been a whole range of reasons as to why that has occurred, both in relation to decreases in income, but as we've already talked about, the revaluation of assets and the associated depreciation with those. Some of these things are completely out of our hands, and particularly if you follow through the scenario of the decrease in supplementary rates is because we've got, and the decrease in other income from planning is because there are far fewer people putting in development applications, because it's far more expensive to build a house because of inflation, and it's also much more difficult to get money from a bank because of high interest rates, and you can just see the loop going round and round and round and around. And so, you know, what we're seeing a reflection of here is really a consolidation of, I think, the last 12 months, if not longer, probably 18 months, where the inflation has been so high, and now people are sort of, there's a backlog now where it's still very challenging to be building a new house, and a lack of new houses and building developments in Kingborough obviously has a flow-on effect at our bottom line. So we do, as Councillor Bain suggested, have some significant challenges ahead of us as a council if we're going to continue to deliver the level of services that we currently do to members of the community. And we do know that our community has a high level of expectation of services from us as a council. So it is very sombering to be looking at those figures now, and certainly not in a place that we would like to be. And I'm sure we're all very mindful of that as we continue into our budget deliberations. Councillor Bain, did you want to sum up? No, thank you. Okay, I'm going to put the recommendation. It's moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Gladright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 83 with a recommendation on the same page. It's the appendices, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Richardson, who may have been scratching his head but also may have moved it. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one question. In the Access Inclusion and Access Advisory Committee minutes, and there was a point raised about the Kingston Beach and not having change rooms for people. Changing facilities at Kingston Beach. It was noted that there are no suitable changing facilities for wheelchair users at Kingston Beach. Currently transferring from one wheelchair to another must be done publicly, yep, and that sort of thing. So inquire about possible adaptations to current facilities. So anyway, it would have been great if we had that in the public amenities, but yeah.
Yep, so that was a discussion that I actually started with the committee, because we've been talking about one of the great highlights of having the public toilets up at Kingston Park is at the community hub, is that we had the first changing places facility, which is, for those who don't know what a changing places facility is, you access it. It's a large change room that people with disabilities who require a hoist to transfer from their chair to the toilet, or from their chair onto a big changing bench to be changed if they've been swimming or something. And we're very proud of the one up there. And even though as a committee we had looked at all the plans of the new toilets and change rooms at Kingston Beach, at the time it didn't occur to us to put in a changing places facility. They are really expensive to do because of the need for the hoists and how the hoists have to be attached. There's also a very difficult process of having them certified. There's only one person in the state who can certify a changing places facility, which has led to a delay in the one up at the community hub. So it is something that we're very conscious of, because at the time when council did the redevelopment of the change rooms down there, I don't think we envisaged then having an access ramp. It wasn't on the agenda at the time, and certainly the access ramp, the beach matting and the beach wheelchairs now really makes that a focal point for somebody who is relying on a personal mobility device. So it would be excellent if further down the track we could add that sort of facility there, so they've got everything that they need in the one place. We agreed that we all should have thought of it at the time, and regret that we didn't, and it might be something that we would like to put forward in the future for a redevelopment down there. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions relating to the Acting General Manager's activities, if I may, on page 90. The first one is a question about the 21st of February and a meeting to discuss development matters with Mr Hodgman. I'm just wondering if there's any light can be shone on that.
The Acting General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you for the question, Councillor Cordova. That related to a matter pertaining to a subdivision in Old Farmhouse Road off Browns Road. And Mr Hodgman was acting on behalf of the widower of the original developer. And the discussion was about street trees and the developer's desire to have an avenue into the court vault.
Into the
into the court bowl that was constructed in Knoll Farmhouse Road.
Thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Two more questions. The other one is relating to, also on the 21st of February, relating to subdivision. I noticed that that same matter relating to a subdivision appeared in two different months, both in January and February. I'm wondering if there's any light that can be shone on why so many meetings about that.
The Acting General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Cordova, the first meeting was regarding the payment of contribution for public open space, more particularly the options available, whether we would accept a bond or a solicitor's trust letter. The second discussion was a follow-up on the public open space, and that will probably contributions. It will probably culminate in a report to council in the not-too-distant future with some recommended minor changes to our public open space policy.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Final question is just about the discussion on the 26th of February relating to tourism matters. What kind of supports are we providing to tourism, and can I please have some light shed on that discussion about tourism matters?
Acting General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Cordova, that particular discussion was regarding tourism pressures on Bruny Island, in particular the camping or alleged camping overnight of tourists around the Bruny Hotel precinct. And those discussions are ongoing.
Thank you, that's all.
Any further discussions? If not, Councillor Midgley, I'm assuming you don't want to sum up. Thank you. I'll put the recommendation now. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Richardson. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page 83, there were no notices of motion, and now we come to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, owner's consent for lodgement of a DA in the Kingborough Sports Precinct. Looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour?
Aye.
All those against? Motion is carried. That means that in accordance with Kingborough Council's meeting audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So thank you very much to our member of the community who has been with us this evening. Thank you to those people who have been watching along at home on YouTube. Go Jack Jumpers for Friday night and Sunday. And the meeting is now closed at 6:27 p.m.